The text for the message tonight is from the prophet Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing the plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace. For the throne of David and his kingdom, he will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. In his essay on civil disobedience, Henry David Thoreau embraced the motto, "That government is best which governs least." That was not said by Thomas Jefferson, by the way, but by Thoreau, arguing for civil disobedience to abolish slavery and to end a war at that time with Mexico. We worry when our political leaders take too much authority upon themselves, even for the best of reasons. Politicians can usually win applause by promising less government rather than more. So take note of the prophecy made about the Messiah in verse 7 that I just read. In King James language, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. In the modern translation I read, his authority will grow continually. Why, to we who love freedom, should this be good news? What good could possibly come of unending, ever-increasing government? Now, danger can change one's perspective on government. After 9/11, many of us embrace, or at least learn to live with, the increase of government authority that appears every time we go to get on a plane. As Isaiah spoke this prophecy, Israel, both in the north and the south, were led by kings whose strength was diminishing. A huge threat lay on the horizon in the growing power of the Assyrian Empire. So people hoped and prayed for a government which could protect them. They feared the weapons of their enemies more than they feared the abuses of a king with too much power. So Israel hoped, as some Americans have hoped, for leadership which could do what verses 4 and 5 predicted. They wanted a king who could break the yoke of fear and get rid of the instruments of war. Yet human leaders are always imperfect. The constant presence of cameras and microphones and the ubiquitous reach of the internet makes apparent and public every single error, lie, foolish remark, and past misdeed of our leaders. Just look at all the leaders in entertainment, business, and government being brought down by their past attacks on women and even on other men. As much as we want and need good leaders, they are terribly difficult to find. When their imperfections come to light, it's a huge disappointment. Perfect government seems like a dream. That's why the rest of Isaiah's prophecy became, even then, a cherished, unfulfilled promise of something totally different, a new kind of leader. A child would be born to shoulder the government. He would be Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. In other words, he would combine the wisdom of Solomon and the strength of David. He would be Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace, offering what seemed the impossible dream of an endless reign of peace on earth. We are here tonight in the faith that that child has been born. 700 years after Isaiah wrote these words, shepherds heard the message that the dream had come true. A child had been born, and he was the Messiah hoped for. He was Christ the Lord. In coming into the world as he did, that baby demonstrated that Thoreau was not all wrong. The perfect government God had planned had very much a least kind of quality to it. The Messiah, the Christ, did not come in the trappings of power, but in the most humble circumstances, as I said to Lydia. As St. Augustine put it long ago, maker of the sun, he is made under the sun. Disposer of all ages in the bosom of the Father, he consecrates this day in the womb of his mother. In him he remains, from her he goes forth. Creator of heaven and earth, he was made on earth, under heaven. Unspeakably wise, he is wisely speechless. Filling the world, he lies in a manger. Ruler of the stars, he nurses at his mother's breast. He is both great in the nature of God and small in the form of a servant. We worship God's Son tonight as our humble governor, as our servant king. He governs best by becoming least in all the world. He rules over us by giving up his life for us. As I said this morning, Jesus Christ was born homeless so that we could have a home in him. The best earthly governors have been those who followed the lead of Christ by serving more than they wielded power. I've also always liked the carol, Good King Wenceslas, written 130 years ago by John Mason Neal. Wenceslas was actually Wenceslas, Duke of Bohemia in the 10th century. Nurtured by his believing grandmother, he brought Christianity to his people there. Wenceslas cared deeply for the people he ruled. He went out often, not just once, as the song might suggest, to bring food and aid to the poor people of his country. He went at night so as not to embarrass them by the charity that he offered. After only 5 years of his good, gentle rule, the good king became a martyr, murdered by his unbelieving brother. The Czech people have made Wenceslas their national saint, beloved for his goodness and generosity. A huge statue of him stands in the city of Prague, and before the fall of the communist regime in Poland, that's where they demonstrated against the evil government, was there around that statue. Good King Wenceslas is a fitting image of the Lord he served. The song tells how he went out into a bitter cold night to bring food and firewood to a poor man. In the same way, Christ our Lord came down from heaven on a dark winter night to bring salvation to us all. Jesus came to find us in our spiritual poverty, bringing the bread of life and the warmth of his grace and his love to all who believe in him. That song about Wenceslas didn't just tell about him helping a poor man, though. Sometimes that's all we sing. But it also has verses about a servant, a page who followed him out into the snow, helping carry the food and the fuel. Then that follower of Wenceslas lost heart in the cold. The cold sank into his body. But when he called out to the king that he couldn't go any farther, a miracle occurred. As the page stepped where the king had stepped, there in the snow, warmth flowed up into him and revived him. And so our Lord Jesus didn't just come into the cold and dark of our world to save us and take us to heaven. He came to call us to follow him, to walk in his steps, to do the kind of things he did, to reach out in love and generosity to people around us. Tonight, as we celebrate his birth, I invite you to trust in the government of Jesus Christ. as Isaiah prophesied, and that his peace will someday rule this world, rule this whole earth. Jesus will come again and set up a perfect government that will have no end, especially this year. That is a glorious hope and promise. In the meantime, Jesus Christ would like to govern your life. The world may not be at peace, but you can know peace in him. He's not yet prince of every nation, not even of this nation, but he is now already the prince of peace for everyone who believes. What Isaiah said in verse 6, and the angel said to Israel and the shepherds, they also say to you, to you a child is born, a son is given, a Savior. This Son of God and Savior would like to rule in your life by offering you the gift he brings. Another legend about Wenceslas is that a Count Radoslas led a rebellion against him. Duke Wenceslas first sent an offer of peace to Radoslas and his army, but it was rejected. And so in order to avoid a huge battle and the deaths of many innocent soldiers, Wenceslas challenged Radoslas to single combat. But when Radoslas approached to fight the Duke, he saw by Wenceslas' side two angels who shouted, "Stand off!" Radoslas was dismayed and repented and threw himself down at Wenceslas' feet to beg forgiveness. The Duke gently forgave him and restored him to his favor. Jesus is our good King, ready to forgive all our rebellion. In the kingdom of God, through Jesus Christ, all your sins can be forgiven and forgotten. If you never have before, I urge you to repent, quit rebelling, and accept and receive that pardon tonight. Pray a simple prayer to simply ask the Savior who was born to be your Savior to be your Savior too. Ask him to forgive your sins and be your Lord. He will come into your heart and begin to rule there. As I said, that rule of Christ, his perfect government over you and in you, goes beyond just saving you from your sins. He'll do that, he certainly will, and set you free from the burden and the guilt. But then he invites us to follow in his steps. As that page followed good King Wenceslas through the snow, you and I are called to struggle along behind Jesus, living the kind of humble servant life that he did. We do good and love others, even when it's hard. And when you do that, when you follow him, you'll find, like the page did, that God's Son will give you warmth and strength for every step. His love will melt the cold from your heart, and you'll find yourself already within his everlasting kingdom of peace. Amen.